Mothers, happy Mother's Day. Reminded there of Proverbs 31:31, to honor her for all her hands have done. And I want to encourage everyone here, if your mother's not here with you today, please call her and tell you love her. I know that those of us whose mothers have gone, I would give anything to talk to her just one more time. So please take that as a blessing and remember to tell your mother how much you love and appreciate her. I also want to remind you that the sermon tonight is going to be in apologetics. We go once a month to talk about the reasons why we have faith in God and His Word, and that they exist. They are a good God for us. So evening sermons about apologetics, come back and be part of that if you would. Now, I want to ask you this morning, are you hungry? Now, maybe you're not hungry just quite yet, but now look at this. Are you hungry now? I know that Mother's Day is a time we often meals together, and sometimes we take the mothers out and so she doesn't cook. Sometimes mothers just want to cook for the family, so they do that. Whatever your tradition is, I know we can all think about this Mother's Day meal and think, oh boy, I can't wait. So I know it's a dirty trick on the Sunday morning to do that to you. I'm so sorry, but I want to make the point, are you hungry, but are you hungry for heaven? Because that's the idea this morning. We're going to take a few moments. I said recently that we should talk more about heaven. I want to talk about heaven this morning as we think about all the blessings we have. Now, I want to start, though, in John 14, verse 1 through 6. You know the passage. You can read it behind me or you can look at your Bible. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me," the words of Jesus. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know." But Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So with that idea in mind that we're going to spend our eternity with Jesus one day, and He's prepared a place for us, what's this place about exactly? I want to talk to you about this point. The invitation, the greatest invitation ever offered. Now, we see in Matthew 11:28 this idea of invitation. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." That's the invitation Jesus offers us. Are you tired? Sometimes life makes us tired. If you're not tired now, wait a while, you'll get tired eventually. Seems like the older we get, the more we realize life takes a toll on us. And so Jesus offers this invitation to all those who follow Him. "Come to me. I'll give you rest." That's a great invitation, isn't it? It's fantastic. Or how about this? How about the greatest preparation ever made? You might think about 2 Timothy 4:6. Where Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now keep in mind that Paul lived a long life. In fact, most of the things we read about Paul were written when he was an old man. His younger life, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees and spent that time persecuting Christians, having some thrown in prison, even some unto death, he said. But when he writes Timothy near the end of his life, he says, "I'm not ready to be offered." So from the time Paul was converted until his last day, he spent time in preparation to be ready for that last day when he was offered up. Remember, Paul wrote the Romans, Romans 12:1-2, they were to give our lives as a living sacrifice. He says that's our reasonable service. That's what God expects of us. It's reasonable. What God did for us, we now give in our lives to Him. So this idea of being a living sacrifice, Paul now says to Timothy, he says, "Listen, I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready for my offering to be done. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to be done with this life. That anticipation of heaven is amazing. Going on with this, he says, the greatest anticipation ever known, this idea of going to heaven. Now, in Titus 2:14, the text says that Jesus gave himself for us. But what was Jesus anticipating on our part? We anticipate heaven for sure, but what was Jesus looking at when he looked at the cross? Well, Titus gives us insight here. I love the insight that gives me great knowledge about what Jesus did and why. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from what? All iniquity. And purify in himself a peculiar people, what? Zealous of good works. So when Jesus saw the cross, he saw redemption for us, that he might make himself a peculiar people, a different people. And these people, though, be those who were zealous of God. What had Jesus seen on his life teaching in Israel? He saw the Pharisees and Sadducees who were zealous before their own works, their own righteousness. What Jesus foresaw was there would be a people following God that now weren't about their own righteousness, but God's righteousness. That led him to the cross. And his anticipation for us, it was that we would follow him and be zealous for his cause. Not for our cause, not to prop ourselves up, but to humbly follow Jesus and his word. You may think back to John 10, referred to quite a bit, where Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and they follow me. So really, we're not really a sheep of Jesus being the shepherd unless we hear and then follow Jesus. It's so easy to follow our own desires, our own goals, and that plays a part in our lives, certainly. But to put Jesus first is what Jesus talked about in Matthew 6:33. To seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's a goal, and it's a goal that goes on every day. Because it's not always easy to follow that goal with our lives. But God calls us to something better than what we have planned for our lives. Also, we have the greatest reception ever given. If you think of Matthew 25, the parable of talents, where when he has a recounting of the money he gave to them and that they're now coming back and saying what they've done with it. To those who used it well, his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So this service of God has a point. It has a conclusion. It has a rest. And the rest is in the joy of God, the place called heaven, that God wants us to anticipate and to receive this invitation, and he wants us to long for it. Just like we might be longing if we're hungry for a good meal, like we talked about a moment ago, God wants us to hunger for and thirst for righteousness in heaven. Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Just like we're to hunger for serving God and being right in the eyes of God, God wants us to thirst and hunger for heaven. It's a beautiful picture. This, in fact, is the greatest destination ever sought. Now, Paul, near the end of his life, In fact, he wrote this from prison. So Paul from prison wrote this verse. And he wrote to Philippian church. He said, I'm in strait betwixt the two things. I've got a hard decision to make. Having desired to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better than Paul in this text. In the verses around it, it says, listen, I want to be with you, brethren. I want to be with you, Philippians, because I love you and I care for you. I want to make your life better. I want to make your faith stronger. So Paul says, if I go to you, I can make your faith, I can strengthen your faith. I can make it better. I can encourage you. I can give you teaching and doctrine which will make your life stronger in Christ. But he goes, listen, death is close to me, and so now understand that I can encourage you and be with you. But if I go to be the Christ, he says, it's not better. It's what? It's far better. So Paul says, as much as I love you, to be with the Lord is far better. We love our physical family. Many of you are here today with family, and if you're not here with physical family, you're here with the church, which is your family. It's good to be with people you love and care for. It refreshes us. It puts a smile on our face. But Paul says, listen, as much as I love my physical brothers and sisters in Christ, and I want to be with you to make your life better. We should all have that goal, shouldn't we? To make the lives of our people around us we love better. Our friends, our family, that should be a great goal. He says, as much as I love that, being with Jesus is far better. Being with God is far better. Paul made it clear that our goal should be heaven. As much as we love our family and our friends, our goal is glory. So, the question is, this morning, I leave to you, is are we hungry for heaven? It's the greatest invitation ever offered. It's the greatest preparation ever rendered. The greatest anticipation ever known. Greatest reception ever given. And the greatest destination ever sought. You know, this morning's sermon is short because I'm hoping you're hungry, right, for heaven up, for heaven also a meal. I want to leave with this. The father and daughter were taking a walk one evening. Right as the stars were coming out, the sun just set. A little girl looks up, says, Daddy, look at the heavens. How beautiful they are. How awesome they are. How awesome they look. It's amazing. And she goes, if we're looking at the stars, and she called it the wrong side of heaven, she said, how amazing that the right side of heaven must be. If this is this beautiful that we see here tonight, how amazing it must be on the other side of heaven that God's made for us. I want to present heaven to you as a thing that we don't want to miss. We think about our struggles every day. We think about sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get frustrated about the things we face. We get mad at family or whatever may happen. Sometimes the job doesn't go quite right. God wants us to be hungry for what comes next. One of the things that should drive us is not just the fear of punishment if our lives go astray and turn away from God, but be drawn to God because of the glory and hunger we have for heaven. None of us will live forever, not on earth anyway. We have a short, finite time on earth. James says our life's but a vapor that appears for a short time and vanishes away. That's hard for young people to wrap their minds or hands around
But the idea, we all, as we grow older, understand that easier and better and better and better. And God wants us to long for it. He wants us to understand that it's God's promise toward us. Jesus said, again, I go to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and receive you again to myself. He says, if it weren't so, I would not have told you. So the words of Jesus, we hang on to. That's what we want. But are we hungry for it? If this side of heaven is pretty, what must the other side be? What must it look like? What must we anticipate for it? This morning, that's our lesson. Are you hungry for heaven? I hope you are. Hope you long for it. Hope you want to go there. And if your life is not in such that you know right now, if you were to leave this life, you're certain you would go to heaven. I ask you, what are you waiting for? Let's make it right. Let's make sure we have a home waiting for us one day in heaven. If it can help you this morning in any way to the way the gospel to be restored, or even for the prayers of church, would you please come as we stand and sing?
Good morning. I want to start with a thank you to all of our visitors. I know you travel for Mother's Day and such things. And we appreciate you taking the time from your visiting and to join the church service. It's a blessing to us